Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Ramanaya. An offering for Sri Bhagavan's Jayanti. Sri Bhagavan said, if a man considers he is born, he cannot avoid the fear of death. Let him find out if he has been born or if the self has any birth. He will discover that the self always exists, that the body which is born resolves itself into thought, and that the emergence of thought is the root of all mischief. Find wherefrom thoughts emerge, then you will abide in the ever-present inmost self and be free from the idea of birth or the fear of death. Talks number 80. On January 1, 2010, according to the Western calendar, Sri Bhagavan's Jayanti was celebrated at Sri Ramana Ashramam. I was living in Tiruvannamalai at the time. I arrived at the ashram about 9 a.m. In the mother temple, the Mahanyasa that precedes the chanting of Sri Rudram was almost completed. The priests were seated in a circle around the pots of water that would be used for the Abhishekam, the ritual bathing of the Shivalingam. I entered and began to go around Mother Samadhi, and then I went around Sri Bhagavan's Samadhi. Usually, at Jayanti time, I would stand by the side of the Samadhi to watch the Abhishekam or sit in the little alcove where there's a window that faces Bhagavan's sofa in the old hall. On this particular Jayanti day, though, there was a place right in front of the shrine and I sat down there. As the priests chanted and performed the rituals on the shrine, I started to read my copy of Sri Vishnu Saraswanamam. This was being chanted in the early morning, all during the month of Margari. As I was reading, the Vedapatthasala boys and their teachers came onto the samadhi and began chanting. Suddenly, there was a commotion on the right side of the samadhi near the entrance next to the well where the priests draw water. I saw Sental Ganapatika, the head teacher, and a few of the boys get up and look. The lady sitting next to me said, oh, someone must have fainted. From where I was seated, I could only see the soles of the feet and the hem of a light-colored sari. Then someone said, it's Kanakamal. I quickly got up and ran over to the door. Some devotees carried her outside and set her down near the well on the side of the old hall. Somehow I was seated at her feet and looking at her face. Her eyes were rolled back in her head and her complexion was very gray. It seemed as if she was gently taking three gulps of air. When I touched her legs, they were cold. I was in a bit of a daze and felt relieved when I saw A.S. Krishnamurti, A.S.K., and his wife Aparna, friends and neighbors who had been very close to Kanakamal for many years and who had facilitated my contact with her. They both began to sing Akshara Manamale, and then we all kept repeating the refrain, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva. More devotees came, including Sundaram, ashram president, his wife Shushila, and Dr. Murti. Everyone there kept on chanting, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva. I put my hands on Kanakamal's ankles, hoping to feel a pulse, but instead I was getting these incredible surges of energy and light that seemed to flow up my arms. Then, suddenly, someone was tying a cloth bandage under her chin to the top of her head to keep the mouth closed, according to the custom. I looked up at Dr. Murti, and he silently confirmed that she had passed. The Jayanti celebration with the Vedic chanting continued in the Samadhi Hall. That morning, Kanakamal had approached the shrine through the entrance near the well. As usual, a car had brought her up to the gents' guest house and the path that leads to the well and then into the samadhi. I didn't see her enter the samadhi, but was told that she had walked into the shrine, totally focused on the lingam. She didn't seem to see anything or anyone else. As she walked towards the railing, she shivered a little and then fell to the ground. Some devotees quickly carried her outside. The Jayanti rituals on the shrine continued without a halt, and devotees gathered around Kanakamal chanting Arunachala Shiva. The whole episode was so natural. I felt no sadness. On the contrary, an immense joy began to well up in me. I could feel her presence. I could feel Bhagavan's presence. A quiet dignity prevailed. While several devotees lifted Kanakamal to carry her back to her house in the front of the ashram, I ran back inside the samadhi hall to get my purse that I had left behind in a flurry. By the time I came out again, everyone was gone, so I rushed over to Kanakamal's house, where several devotees had started to congregate. Kanakamal's body had been placed on the floor in the traditional way. She looked like she was asleep. We all sang the full version of Akshadamanamale. Then we were told that nothing more was going to happen until Kanakamal's close relatives arrived from Chennai and Bangalore, which would take some time. Since I wanted to go back to the Jayanti celebration in the Samadhi Hall, I ran home quickly, took a full bath, washed my clothes out, changed into fresh clothes, and then took my motorbike back to the ashram. The place was very crowded by then. I ran around to the side entrance by the well. The door was locked, so I stood by the window. A devotee saw me and opened the door. I was standing near the shrine, approximately at the place where Kanakamal had fallen to the floor. The puja was over and singing had begun. The lingam was beautifully decorated with a magnificent floral arrangement. At the end, as is usually done on each Purnavasu day, the day of Bhagavan's birth star, Sushila and some ladies, including me, started singing the Purnavasu song from Muruganar's Sanidhi Mure, and afterwards the Oddity hymns. I took my lunch in the ashram and then at 3 p.m. went back to Kanakamal's house to say goodbye before they took her to the cremation grounds. They had put a garland around her neck. By around 4 p.m., the relatives had arrived and the priest began the last rites outside the door of her house. Some of the ladies had washed Kanakamal's body and changed her sari. She was brought outside on a kind of stretcher that the men who had gathered there would then carry to the cremation ground. The stretcher was placed on the earth, and we filed around the body, taking rice in the left hand from the priest and then placing it on her mouth. When it was my turn, I looked at her beautiful face for the last time, and some tears finally did come for the loss of a beloved guide and friend. Some of the men then picked up the stretcher and carried her on foot to the cremation grounds. Others followed. It was not a big crowd. As per the custom, none of the ladies went to the cremation grounds. Kanakamal's passing away was in keeping with the humility and simplicity of her life at Arunachala, in complete devotion and surrender to Sri Bhagavan. I can't help but think of the famous 16th century Krishna Bhakta, Mirabai. Legend has it that Mira was absorbed into a statue of Sri Krishna in Vrindavan on Krishna's birthday. Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Ramanaya.